But anyway, they were being prepared. And I think today as well, we are being prepared. Amen? You are being prepared for such a time as this. Think about this on thinking about being prepared. Benjamin Franklin said, "By failing to prepare, you are preparing to fail." My message is going to kind of get us into that level of understanding of being prepared with the gospel. Being prepared, it talks in Ephesians, to shod your feet with what? The gospel. Prepare, prepare, prepare. So, another one. Abraham Lincoln says, give me six. Now, this is already on my sheet of paper before they started chopping down trees yesterday. But Abe Lincoln said this. Now, these guys weren't using axes. They were using chainsaws. But we had an example of chains that are sharp, right, Dan? And what you do and how fast it cuts and all that. But it says, Abraham Lincoln said this back in the days when they just used the axes. Give me 6 hours to chop down a tree. I will spend the first four sharpening the axe. Preparedness is more important than sometimes what you're actually doing. Preparedness will help you accomplish what you are to do in the shortest time available. You know, so preparing that. So that's what old Abe was saying. It might take him longer to get ready to do the job at hand, but, you know, when he gets to that job at hand, it'll go really smooth and really quick preparation. Jimmy Carter, bless his heart, says this, "We should live our lives as though Christ was coming this afternoon." Someone unknown said this, "Today's preparation determines tomorrow's achievement." Thinking along the lines of salvation and sharing the gospel, the preparation, the message of good news that we've all been given to share. We need to be prepared with that. And by preparing, just think of your achievement for tomorrow. Your achievement would be for tomorrow would be to help someone get their way into heaven, amen, to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. It would be to see that achievement coming about because that's what God sent Jesus into the world as a babe and to come to be our Lord as for he so loved us. So what is your tomorrow's achievement? Think of that as you are prepared with the gospel of the good news. What is the achievement for the kingdom? What is the achievement for heaven? Amen. Another gentleman said that the most prepared are the most dedicated. So are you prepared with the gospel? Are you prepared to share the good news? If you are trained up and ready to go, and I'm not saying trained up where you've got to have every verse and every, you know, you need to quote every verse of the Bible. I'm not saying that for sure. But are you trained up? Are you at the level that God is wanting you at for the task that he has you ready to perform? And thank God that for myself, as I read, and maybe I don't glean everything right away and it goes into my photographic memory, which I don't have, but, you know, when the time is right, and maybe I'm sharing something of the good news, the gospel, that the Spirit brings something back, and he tugs at that and pulls it out. He can't pull that out unless it's in there somewhere. Now, he can supernaturally give you something to say, and there's things that I didn't know was in the Bible that I've said, that after I said it, and then I heard that it was somewhere in the Bible, I thought, wow, that had to be by God. You know, the insights are some things that he kind of put upon my heart. So he can do many different ways and many things of how he's going to get that message out, and he will use you. But how nice it is to be somewhat prepared. Thinking about that, I'm going to jump all the way to the end of my notes, and hopefully we don't get all messed up here. But 2 Timothy says, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and teaching." Amplify says, "Preach the word as an official messenger." We are a messenger of the word of God. Amen. You know, it's not just pastors that are the messengers. Each of you sitting there today, you are the messenger. You are to go out and preach. Be ready when the time is right and even when it is not. Keep your sense of urgency. Whether the opportunity seems favorable or unfavorable, whether convenient or inconvenient, "Oh, I don't have time to share the gospel today, Lord. I got a schedule to take. Oh, I see this person that you've put here and I should share that. I just don't have time, Lord." Are we like that sometimes? Do we not have a sense of urgency of what we're living in and seeing? Every time you turn the news, and we've said this, every time you see the news, listen to the news, hear something and read it in print or whatever, you look at how the signs of the times and the things that are happening, and it's just on, we're on, it's just going. You know, there should be a sense of urgency within us. Correct those that are error in doctrine or behavior, warn those who sin, exhort and encourage those who are growing towards spiritual maturity. With inexhaustible patience and faithful teaching. Don't get weary in doing good. How many of us get weary? I weary out about 1 o'clock. Lord, don't put me on the street corner sharing the gospel at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I might be snoozing. I don't know. Maybe not that. But, you know, don't grow weary in doing these things. So anyway, thinking about that, be prepared. The most prepared are the most dedicated. We've got to be dedicated to the Word of God. Amen? We've got to be dedicated to His Word. We've got to be dedicated to the cause that He has put us here on this earth for, to be accomplished for His glory. Not for us, but to bring people into the kingdom of God. It's to populate the heaven. Hallelujah. And you know, as sad as it is, we want the population in heaven to be like a zillion, and how many in hell? None. But we know that's not going to be. We know that hell is reserved for those that are going to turn or not receive Christ. And, you know, narrow is the road to salvation or life, and wide is it to destruction. Gives us a clue that that road to what the devil has for us is a whole lot wider than what it is to get into the kingdom of God. Because to get into the kingdom of God, you've got to toe the line. You've got to come to that level of maturity, perfecting, being perfect. As I am perfect, as thy Father is perfect in heaven. Things of this nature that we as followers of Christ want to always be looking at. Will we be? Are we? Are we there now? No. But we've got to desire it. We've got to look for it. We've got to work for it. We've got to live for it. Amen. To live for the goodness of what God has for us, and to live it in our life in a way that exemplifies Him. And there's times that we all fall short. Don't you? I have. Sad to say, probably in the future, I will probably fall short in some instances again. But I'm going to try to keep myself alert. I'm going to try to keep myself prepared. I'm going to try to be one step ahead of maybe what this world is trying to do, or the snafu that the devil would like to catch any one of us here today in, to bring us down, or to bring the church down, or to bring the kingdom. Whatever he can do, he wants to destroy it. Amen? The devil wants to destroy these things. But we've got to be prepared. But we walk with preparation of being prepared with the, and our feet are shod. Our feet are shod, covering. Our feet are covered with the gospel, the good news, the preparation of the gospel for that. So, as believers, let's talk about that a little bit. We know that John the Baptist had said this in Matthew 3:1-3. It says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and he says this, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. For this, he who was spoken by of the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, John, preparing the way. Are you in your life some way, somehow, preparing the way for what Jesus has asked you to do? Are you out there proclaiming? Are you out there being prepared to do that? How? What a wonderful insight for John the Baptist, where he's out there proclaiming something that hadn't been there yet, right? Proclaiming that. Repent for the kingdom. They're thinking, what is this guy proclaiming? What's he out there preparing us for? Preparing the way of the Lord, make his path straight. We know that Jesus has come and he is gone, but he will be returning. Woo, he's coming again. We must prepare for his return. We've got charged the same thing that John the Baptist had way back when Jesus hadn't even appeared yet or was getting ready to and was there, and John's out there preparing the way for him to come. You know, someone mightier than I is coming. Someone that's holier than I. Someone that's, you know, I'm not even, I can't even tie his sandals. You know, this guy is, he's really good. We have got that same message today because the return of Jesus is out there and he's coming again. I don't know, somewhere along the line, maybe last Sunday in Sunday school or somewhere along the line, but anyway, I touched upon, maybe just quickly, rumblings in the sky and throughout the heavens, you know, that's happening around the world. I'm not saying that that's Jesus coming back, but it's just one of those phenomenal things that scientists have no idea what's taking place. They don't know what's causing it, but it's like thunder and the shaking at times. And it's not just in one or two particular areas. It's around the world, they're saying, that they're hearing this and getting reports of some mysterious thundering sound and rumbling, and it sometimes even shakes. Maybe the house you're in are just kind of like a little vibration. Have you heard of that? Honest, it was in the news. I know I've told you don't listen to the news, but whoops. Sometimes you find these things. There was some of that being done even in Wisconsin, somewhere up north. I can't remember the exact area in the town. But for several times, people were calling. They were actually calling 911 and stuff, thinking that there was an explosion or something, like something's happened. And it's for, they don't, have you heard something? They don't know what it is, you know. Is it like something in the ground caving in and doing, or but it sounds like it's coming up in the air. And anyway, just imagine what that is causing people to wonder. Oh, there's a thundering sound in the, and I don't know where it's at, and it's shaking my house. Just think when the Lord comes back, what's going to happen? Woo! Wow! You know, the trumpet is sounding, and he's coming back on that white horse, man. That will get the people's attention, because I'm hearing people's attention now on things that are happening that scientists can't totally explain, but it's just like happening all around the world. Maybe there's things happening in the heavenlies we just don't know yet. I just throw that out there. I'm not saying that's him coming back tomorrow, but just how people are hearing these things. And you kind of wonder, like, well, how could that noise be to where it would draw attention? Well, there's an example, just what's taking place in the last year, the last 6 months, of that noise coming in the sky that we just don't, there's no sonic boom, there's no jet going through, there's nothing happening. They can't explain totally what's taking place. So when I heard that and when I read that, I thought, oh, Lord, when that time does come, when you come, you're going to get the people's attention. And what's going to happen then? We've got to be prepared. You know, we're in God's army. We're here. We're learning and learned and understanding and reading these things and being prepared by his word of how it all developed in the Old Testament and the prophecies and how it developed and how he happened to be the baby and how he died on the cross and now he's resurrected and now he's in heaven, but he's coming back again. It's going to go full circle, guys. And whether it's in our calendar life or another life, generations down the road, I just encourage you to be prepared. As Jimmy Carter said, we need to live our lives like Jesus Christ is coming back this afternoon. If I could tell you that exactly at 2:45 p.m., he's coming back, you guys would change a lot. I would change a lot probably too all of a sudden, you know? Some of the things that, like, whoo, wow, we better get ready. Getting ready. Being prepared. We need to do that. Matthew 24:44 says, therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. It just mind boggles me, and I just laugh after a while, and most of us, I don't know where, but you hear these people out there that have all these conjectures of times, and he's coming back, and these blood moons are happening, and this is happening, and that's happening, and Israel's being claimed as a state, which it did back in the 40s or whenever it was reclaimed. But all these things are happening as things that, yes, will happen. And I don't understand why man is so bold to come stepping out to say, he's coming back on November the 28th in 2017 at... Why does the man have such... Not boldness. I can't think of the word I want to say. Arrogance, maybe. To be able to sit there and say, I, as mere man, know when he's coming back. And Jesus, as the Son of God, said, I do not even know the time. How dare them? How dare man step into a position higher than Jesus Christ in that level of understanding with God the Father? And I don't need to live my life thinking that he's coming back today and, ooh, I better get all goody. I need to live my life as he's coming back sometime that I do not know when. And I've got to be prepared one way or the other. I've got to be prepared for his return physically upon this earth, or I've got to be prepared for when he calls me home and I breathe my last breath, that when I am elevated and taken into heaven, that everything is good and God welcomes me home with wide arms and says, well done, good and faithful servant. Either way, I'm going to meet Jesus. How about you? Well, you guys are really excited about that. One way, either he returns or I see him in heaven, I'm going to see Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a win, 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 win. So live your life prepared. Live your life victorious. Live your life like hallelujah. There's more to my life than just Christmas and Advent and 5 days or 5 weeks before Christmas that I really get turned on about Jesus, you know? No, it's daily. Daily. Hallelujah. Be ready. For now, as we live here and carry out our daily lives, God has instructed us to do the following. 1 Peter 3:15 to 16, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Set him apart in your heart. Set him apart in your heart. You've got to take some of this life of this world out of your heart. Amen. You've got to get rid of the stuff of this world out of your heart. Cleanse it. Sanctify it. Woo, with God. It says, sanctify the Lord your God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks for a reason for, well, what's that hope you've got in you? How can you be so hopeful? How can you be so upbeat when doom and gloom and news and this and that and yeah. I bet there's people out there that don't even want to get out of bed anymore. They don't even want to live anymore at times. It's just like, this is ridiculous. I'm tired of all this shenanigans going on, and I just can't take it anymore. I think, just quickly as we shared, and we're not going to get deep into that for sure, but just at the closing of Sunday school, but you know, some of the things that have come out in the last week or two and last month of news of some things that have happened, immoralities and things that have happened in the workforce and people with power and all this, it just, after a while, you step back from that in this world, in this life, and you think, oh, yuck. America. This type of stuff, and it's not new. It's been going on forever, but it just comes to light, and it's brought on the news, and it's repeated on the news at the 10 o'clock news break, at 11 o'clock a.m., 1 p.m., you know, news break, the same thing over and over and over. More allegations come out. More people come out. More people surface. More people have something to say about it, you know? And you just sit there after a while and you're thinking, oh my gosh, yuck, yuck. And the lives that are touched and the lives that are destroyed and all those things that happen. But, you know, as we look at this, I still have hope. I still have joy. I still have preparation of what Christ is going to do for me or has done for me and what he will be doing when he comes back. And I can't explain. I cannot explain exactly how, you know, pre-trib, post-trib, re-trib, retread, whatever. I don't know. But I'm just going to be ready. And whatever he wants me to do, if he wants me to suffer for him, he will give me the endurance to suffer. If he's going to give me a blessing to be elevated above it, he will bless me and elevate me above it. He will do what he wants to do if I just become to him as a willing servant and say, here am I, Lord, I'm prepared for what you have. Use me, however. I'm not even getting in the camps of the pre-trib, post-trib, and all these in-between things. And, oh, you think as a Christian you're going to go through trials and all this and problems, he's going to take you out. I'm looking forward to being taken out. I want to be taken out before he comes. I just want to be where he wants me to be when he comes. Because that's all conjecture as far as people interpreting what they believe is going to happen anyway. It's still kind of vague. Yeah, it's in there, but you get five commentaries, you'll have five different highly educated people of the Bible will have five different conclusions. Well, that tells me one thing. There's no set definitive answer. But we'll want to fight on it a lot. We'll separate churches over it. We'll split churches, you know, whatever we want to do. And we have our camps of different ones and how this is all going to take place. All I say is, all I know is the Bible says he's coming back. He's coming back for his bride, his church. And he's looking at his bride at a different level of where they need to be than the world. He's coming back to judge the church first. So the church needs to be prepared. I need to be prepared. You need to be prepared. Because when he comes knocking, I don't want him to say, I'm here, Tim, and I'm going to judge you. I'm not going to be able to say, could I have an appointment and see you on Friday? Could you go out and visit my neighbor down the street? Because I know they're a lot worse than me. Because Jesus would say, I know they're a lot worse. I know they've done a lot more sin. I know their sin and where they're at with where they're at. You have, all these years, have called me, you're my own. You've confessed me as your Lord and Savior. You've received me as your Lord and Savior. You are going to be a Christ follower. You are following me. I want to look at what you've done and how you've portrayed that. And even at that time, I'm going to be so thankful for his grace and mercy. You know, because I'm not an angel. It's nice to look out here and see everybody's halo, but you're not seeing a halo on top of my head. But thank God for his grace and mercy. But I want to shoot to that point, to that level of bringing honor to him. You know, at least if whatever it is and whatever consolation it makes me feel, but it's like, at least, Lord, I'm trying. And in my heart, Lord, I want to serve you. And in my heart, I want to bring honor to you. And in my heart, I love you. And in my heart, I understand what you did for me. And you didn't have to do that for me. And all these things that you've done. And now your word is telling us that we need to prepare. I should have been preparing even more. I should have been preparing even deeper into things, maybe. I don't know, Lord. I thought I was trying to do it the best I could. And I fell short. I'm sure I've fallen short many times. But Lord, would you forgive me? Would you forgive me, Lord? Because I know who you are, and your level of authority and who you are deserves much more than what I've done and what I've given you of my life. Because I could have done it better. I could have done it more. I know I could. But there's many times I kind of bailed out here or there, or I didn't put 110% into what maybe you had asked me to do. Lord, forgive me. I was trying. Yeah, and some of these things of this life got a hold of me. They didn't turn out well at times, Lord, but I knew I could always return back to you and come back to you and ask for forgiveness. Change my heart, O Lord. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O Lord. May it be like you, or something like that. If not, I just made up a verse. And I like to do that too. Sanctify the Lord in your hearts. Always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for that reason that you have for that hope. 1 Peter 3:15 and 16. Amplify says, but in your heart, set Christ apart. Set him apart as holy. Sometimes we don't even do that in our lives. We don't even set him apart as being holy. We just bring him down in the muck and the yuck with us. Set him as holy, acknowledging him, giving him first place in your lives as Lord. Always be ready to give a logical defense to anyone who asks you to account for this hope and a confident assurance that is elicited by faith. And it's hard to explain faith because people don't understand that, do they? But you do. That is within you. And yet it says here, and the Amplified ends with, and yet do it with gentleness and respect. I don't recall ever hearing or reading in the Word Jesus yelling and raising his voice, well, maybe at the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the religious orders and the temples because of what they had turned the temples into and what they had put upon the Jewish people because they had laws after laws after laws that even the leaderships and the Sadducees and the priests and all, they weren't even following all of them. But in all my readings and things, I never picked up out of Jesus' talking that he was not gentle with those that he was talking to and visiting with. And, you know, it wasn't like he was going to hold one up on them and say, well, I'm the Son of God, and if you don't understand that, I'm really going to give you what you deserve. I never read that in any, even in the Message Bible or anything like that, I don't think. But he always was compassionate. He was always of love. He would be right where the people were at, and yeah, they might spit on him, but, you know, he would forgive them. I'm sure they, you know, it says they plucked his beard, pulled hair out. What could he have done at that time? He would stand there and take it, receive that torture and receive that beating and receive the people mocking him like that of a lamb being led to slaughter. That's when I see this here, that with a confident assurance and your faith, you share with them and you do it with gentleness and respect. You get more flies with honey than you do with vinegar. You will get more people possibly into the kingdom of God with showing respect and gentleness than you will with belittling them. Just nailing them down on how their denomination is wrong or your belief is not right and my Bible says this and I'm totally believing that, even though you know, live it, live your life that you're living for others to see it and let them want to ask you, what is that hope that you've got? I read my Bible, but I don't have the same hope that you've got. I go to church, but I don't have the same confidence that you've got. Why? What am I missing here? I'm doing just about the same thing you're doing, but I don't have what you have. Why is that? And that's when you come in gentle and with that respect of just allowing to share what this gospel is all about, being prepared to give that answer. Not shaming them into the kingdom, you know, not badgering them into the kingdom. You just open up your arms as he's opened up his arms to you and say, come. Be prepared for that time. Be prepared. God's word even tells us to shod our feet with the gospel. We've talked about that. Ephesians 6:14-16. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. You know, we're getting all geared up here for battle and going forth. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Jesus came for several things, love and all that, but he came for peace. You know, peace. The gospel brings peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. But as we look at this feet, a spiritual shoe, that the preparation, that gospel, the shod your feet, put coverings on your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Something to aid our movement. It's the piece of armor to aid our movement and our defense. You know, as you go to a battle, you can fight tooth and nail with like a sword and a shield and blah, 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 blah. But to get through that battle in life and things, it's going to really help you have the gospel. To share the gospel. Because really, it says in his word, the power of life and death is in the sword, in the shield, in the tongue. In the tongue. You will do more damage with your tongue, and you will do more uplifting with your tongue. It's how you approach things. It's how you share things. Are you walking it in with gentleness and respect and peace? Preparation of the gospel of peace. Shoes made from the preparation of the gospel of peace are the third piece of the vital armor. The gospel of peace is good news. Luke 2:10, the gospel of peace, it says this in Luke 2:10. Then the angel says to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." All people. Isn't that great to know that as you go out and as you're sharing and as you're sharing this gospel of peace and the word of God, that it's for all of us. It's for that very one that you're talking to. God forgives, and then he gives. What could be greater? The gospel gives us a hope. Gospel takes a hopeless being, fills him or her with the eternity of glory. The afflictions of this world cannot take away the joy of the good news that Jesus has brought into this world. Christ has brought you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Find that in Colossians 1 and 13. Just briefly there, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. We serve a wonderful God. In Romans 10, I'll wrap this up here real quick here. Romans 10, 14. Now then, they shall call upon him when they have not, I'm going to start over here. Romans 10, get my eyes focused here. Romans 10, 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? And it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. So how then shall they call upon him who they've not believed, who they've not heard of? We need to be sharing the gospel. That's the messenger. It says here that the absolute need for a messenger. Paul asked, how shall they hear without a preacher? This does not mean that we must enter public ministry to preach the gospel. The Greek word used for preacher actually means one who heralds, proclaims John the Baptist, prepare ye the way! Proclaiming or publishes. Clearly, every believer is assigned a personal pulpit. That personal pulpit could be in your home, the community you're in, could be at your office, could be in the school, from which to show and tell others the good news. Reminds me kind of like Nate as he shares like victory in the workplace, that we are all messengers of the gospel. What comes from the pulpit is great, but what is really said and shared out in the workplace, at your lunch table, in your break room, at your desk, in your home, whatever the case may be, that is where the real message goes forth. And it covers those people. Well, it covers them, but they hear it, and they're listening, and you're just sharing those things. So the gospel gives us a message. Let your life radiate this message. If Satan can get you from being a testimony in word, works, and deed, he's taken away that greatest weapon. You know, how many times throughout the year we share about people, you've got a testimony. Share your testimony. Oh, it just doesn't seem to be that exciting. Well, it doesn't need to be exciting. It's your testimony. You know, and I used to get like that. How could you come up and give a testimony after somebody else just gave a testimony how, you know, they were this and that, and all through life they did this and that, and they were so bad, and now blah, blah, blah. You're like, oh my gosh, now all of a sudden they come through, but Jesus showed up. Okay, Tim, come up and give your testimony. Well,
I wish I was a drug dealer. I wish I was a thief and I stole a lot of stuff. Because that'd really be a cool testimony, you know? Yeah, I could tell, oh, yeah, I did this, and I was mean, I was bad, I was bad to the bone. Bad to the bone. And I'm not saying I was an angel, but I'm just saying, you know, some of these testimonies people come up with, it's like I start shrinking down in my chair. Yeah.
But everyone has a testimony. It's that life that you had before Christ. And it's how much Christ loved you and brought you out of that into what he has. And where you're at with him and how he's blessed you and how he's worked in you and how he's provided for you and how things changed in your life. Don't let the devil tell you your testimony is of naught. That's a lie. No matter what our callings or giftings, the purpose is always the same. To make Christ known. Doesn't matter what you're calling, what you're gifting. You could be highly gifted and talented and all kinds of things. But ultimately, the message is that we have got to make Christ known. God intends us all to be a walking vessel of his goodness, spreading the love of Christ to others. As we familiarize ourselves with the gospel, we will discover the message is worth living for. As you read more into this, doesn't it excite you even more? As you even read scriptures that you've already read before and again and again and again and again, and again over and over and over, and you read them again, and something within it, that logos goes to rhema, that rhema just gets you fired up, and you go, wow! This is what it means, or at least for my life and how it's, I can see it happening now, Lord. Stay excited for the Word of God. Be prepared for the things of God and be willing to go out there and say, here I am. So prepare yourself to follow the Lord no matter what. This is not the grasping of doctrines, but the laying hold of the love of God. Just get the hold of the love of God. Amen. Don't, oh, I got to study this. Just the love of God. Amen. Are you prepared to serve God no matter what? Seek his face till you are. What is the gospel? Make sure you understand the message that we're able to take out to the world. We all have one message and a focus, and that is to spread the love of Christ. We are instructed to do so and to prepare ourselves to do that. Be in preparation this season, and not just for the Christmas season, but next January and February and March. Be prepared. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lord, we love you. Prepare us, Lord, to be a sanctuary, tried and true, with arms wide open. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. I just can't that prepare me to be a sanctuary. I think we were saying it sometime. Pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. So prepare me to be a living, to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Lord, that we would be a living sanctuary for you. Wow. Chokes me up. Chokes me up that who I am and where I've been and who am little old me, little old you. You're not out in the front page news. We're not a mega church. We're not 5,000 strong. We're not this and that and all that, but he's preparing us to be a sanctuary, to be pure and holy, tried and true. It's with thanksgiving, Lord. It's with thanksgiving. Hallelujah.